The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. Today the church celebrates the most famous conversion of all time. And at the beginning of this Mass, we prayed that we might learn from the example of St. Paul's conversion how to open ourselves much more to what God seeks to do in us. So what was his conversion? What preceded it? What's it supposed to provoke in us? It's always very important for us to remember that St. Paul's conversion began with St. Stephen's prayer outside the gates of Jerusalem. How much it must have stuck in Saul's heart that as this man was being stoned to death, he was not crying out in pain, but he was crying out in prayer, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not hold this sin against them." He had become an echo of the one to whom he had been testifying, Jesus himself, whose first words from the cross were to forgive those who didn't know what they were doing, and whose last words from the cross were a prayer of entrustment. St. Stephen had become very much Christ-like, and those prayers were not just Stephen's prayers. They were also the Lord Jesus' prayers. And they were not without effect. Come to the conversion of Saul. It happened outside the city gates of Damascus. Why? Could have happened anywhere. The Lord could have converted him at any minute. He could have converted him as he was stoning St. Stephen or presiding over that execution. But he waited until he got 135 miles north of Jerusalem, twice what would qualify to get you the shell on the Camino de Santiago. 135 miles north, why? Wanted to get him out of his ordinary element, wanted to get him close to where there was a Christian community that could really care for him and nourish him, without, at least initially, a threat that he himself would be killed as a result of his conversion. It was there that the Lord converted him. And he converted him not as a result of a psychological process, not as a result of the examination of his own life and saying, "I have to be a better man." Converted him through this encounter with the Lord. Saul was ready. Often, when most people, especially most Catholics, think about the conversion of St. Paul, we think about the conversion from a bad man to a good man, from a murderer of Christians to a minister to Christians. But that wasn't St. Paul's conversion at all, as he tells in his three different conversion stories in Acts 9, 22, and 26. And as we read in the letter to the Galatians this morning in the Office of Readings, he was a very zealous Jew. As soon as he was bar mitzvahed in Tarsus, he journeyed all the way down to Jerusalem so that he might study at the feet of the greatest rabbi of the age, Gamaliel. And after he had graduated from that school, so zealous was he for the covenant that he was outraged that these believers, schismatics, were trying to say that the Messiah was a carpenter from Nazareth, that God wasn't one, but somehow this carpenter was likewise divine, that he had promised to destroy the temple, and other things that were initially perceived as blasphemous. Paul was zealous. And just like, for example, Torquemada or Savonarola in years later, fought against heresy, that defined Paul. He was very zealous, but what happened to him on the road to Damascus? He began to recognize through that encounter that faith was not our adhesion to the Mosaic law, but our inhesion in Jesus. He would begin to grasp what he would later write to the Galatians, that the way the Lord wants us to live is to live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave his life up for us. That the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us to this extent. It was not works any longer. Obeying the word of God, that was the principal characteristic of the life that God wanted. It was allowing God's own life to live within us, a totally different principle. And how did he get there? The actual means of his conversion was, as Pope Benedict has lovingly taught us, a death and resurrection. Paul died, and Christ rose from the dead. That's what his crucifixion meant. He crucified the old Adam in him so that the new Adam could reign. That's why St. Paul would write to the first Christians so often that our whole life is a life of faith in which we entrust ourselves, just like Christ entrusted himself to the Father, just like Stephen entrusted himself to the Lord Jesus. Our life is an entrustment in faith to God. And in that opening, God comes to dwell. We die to old ways, we live by new. And we live together with the Lord. That's the conversion he experienced. And it wasn't a one-time thing that happened in Syria. It was a continual process in which by faith, he opened himself up to the divine life and sought to have so many others share that gift. What does it mean for our conversion? Those of us who come to daily Mass are, in general, not going to have to be converted from wickedness to goodness. But many of us, like St. Paul, regularly need the conversion from a defective notion of what God is asking to a true one, from a minimized understanding of holiness or a mistaken one with regard to the means to a true one. There are still, as Pope Francis likes to say, Neo-Pelagians who, like the Pharisees, at a practical level think that they are saved by obedience to the law. Whether it's keeping the commandments, period. Whether it's living to a religious rule, period. Whether it's keeping priestly promises, period. It's still shallow. It's not all that God wants. It's a beginning, it's a good beginning, but it's not the end. We need to convert to living by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gives his life up for us. Others can live by a different form of minimalism. That as long as we're not Adolf Hitler or Jack the Ripper, everything's fine in a relationship with God. Others are able to live the faith partially, keeping various aspects of what God is asking, but not loving their neighbor, not forgiving their persecutors, not turning the other cheek, not doing the things, essentially, that they really don't want to do because they don't want to die to their old Adam and allow the new to rise. Whatever it be, the conversion of St. Paul is a reminder that the Lord, like he called him to continuous conversion, calls us to that same entrance into his passion, death, and resurrection, so that we might live truly by him. Today, on this feast of St. Paul's conversion, as we give thanks to the Lord, not just for this most famous conversion of all time, but also for all the good that came about because of Paul's free giving of himself to the Lord after he met him, we ask the Lord to strengthen us to become like St. Paul's, witnesses in the midst of the world, not only of the power of conversion, but of the joy. Praise be Jesus Christ.